Hey guys, my name is John, and you're listening to TCK Tales. Well, it's been a really restful break for me. School has started, a lot of stuff has happened, but it is September 10th, which means season 2 of TCK Tales is launching, and it is happening now. That is what you're listening to. I don't know if you realize this, but this is season 2 of TCK Tales, and I'm really excited for all of the incredible interviews and stories that we have to say. I'm adding a few more episodes this season. It's going to be 12 episodes long throughout the entire semester. And I actually have a sponsor, which is really cool. So there'll actually be a bit of a sponsorship break during the music in the middle of the story. So yeah, it'll be exciting. We'll see what happens. And we're going to go from there. Today's story is brought to you by a dear friend of mine named Lizzie Sullivan. She is a military kid and a theology major here at Moody. She's about to graduate. We've been together all 4 years, and she's just a wonderful person to talk to. I hope you enjoy it. She is doing not a story about her life, but a fiction short story that she wrote for a class here. I'm trying to kind of spice up the genre a little bit, and so there'll be a little bit more creative fiction, creative nonfiction, different storytelling elements as we go through the season, kind of experimenting with how I want to do things. Instead of me talking at the end, it's going to be a Q&A session with her about what she wrote and why she wrote it as we kind of draw out major themes. So yeah, I'll see you guys in a little bit. Until then, enjoy Lizzie's story.
Last semester, I took a literature class at my school, and one of the projects was, instead of writing a 10-page paper, we could actually write a short story or do another piece of art. And my teacher said, I always hate written pieces, but you can try. And so I thought, you know what? I'll try. So this is what came out of it. It's called I'd Heard. The collection of voices conversing behind the door were so hushed they could almost be mistaken for the wind rattling dried leaves. This lull was broken every so often by an old, watery voice that echoed through the crack in the door and into the hot, thick air like distant thunder. A hunched figure sat with half of her body in the crack of the door. She was listening so intently that she failed to hear the clip-clap of small, bare feet down the tile staircase behind her. Nor, we're supposed to be asleep. Sama's whisper came from the staircase to Nor's dimly lit figure beside the door. Nor's head turned sharply to Sama. As she moved her long, black fraying bangs turned to gold, a stripe of yellow light cut down her thin, sweating face. Shh, Sama, I'm trying to listen. Nor's sharp voice echoed hollowly back up the narrow hall. She adjusted back into the light of the cracked door, sighing long and exasperatedly. Sama quickly folded her arms to her chest. She huffed long and hard into the thick night air around them. Her shoeless feet padded quickly on the cracked tile floor, so she was standing directly over Nor's sitting figure. Nor's mouth fell into an exaggerated frown as her dark eyes looked up to meet Sama's. The voices continued behind the door. Even though Sama stood away from the cracked light at the door, Nor could almost see her sister's white grin as she taunted her. I'm going to tell. Nor stood up quickly, feet fumbling back from the door. Light from the slit had formed a thin triangle which angled onto the whitewashed concrete wall behind her. She stumbled into it as her eyes opened wider. No! Nor cried. The voices in the room lulled. Nor could see Sama's smirk in the dark. Light pierced Sama's hand as she moved to push the door open. Before she could, the metal door snapped open, blinding the girls with a living yellow-orange light from the flickering candles inside. The light enveloped the crooked, tiled staircase, melding into gray as the staircase turned a corner towards the roof. The hallway turned flickering orange, and a fat, hunched shadow was drawn on the wall. Two long arms slowly emerged from the shadows. Then, like a fisherman's net, one wrinkled hand snapped onto Nora's wrist, and the other onto Sama's wrist, reeling them past the doorway and into the room. The room was sparsely furnished. Woven cushions lay on the ground around the perimeter of the room. A collection of relatives sat silently on the cushions, while a long tray of nearly empty glasses sat on the floor in the center of the room. It was so quiet, one could hear the drip-drop of caramel-colored tea from an overturned cup onto the tile floor. On the wall beside the door hung two framed pictures. One was of a man with gray hair and shining eyes, and the other was of a younger man with his same eyes. Sama turned her face quickly when she saw the face of the second man. She didn't want to look at the picture long. It made her heart burn. The shadowy form moved into the flickering light of the room. The light revealed it to be a sweaty, heavily wrinkled woman with a floor-length, dull purple dress. She was nearly as short as Sama and Noor, though many years their elder. Her eyes were glassy and wet. Her teeth were so broken and chipped that they looked like a yellowed mountain range in her mouth. Her face was plump, with sparse gray hair sticking to her forehead. Afraid to look up, Sama watched a river of sweat run down from Nora's forehead and off of her chin. The figure moved their faces closer to hers. Her fat chin bobbed up and down dramatically with each long syllable as she said, "Sama, Noor, you should have been asleep hours ago." She talked like her cheeks were filled with air, ready to sigh dramatically at any time. Before either Sama or Noor could get one sound out, the woman's large lips flapped, "Again and again I tell you, listen. Oh, you will make my gray hairs white before their time." Noor blurted out, "Sita, I couldn't sleep because I was hungry and thirsty," and I... Ignoring Noor's excuse, Sita looked deeply at Sama, smiling her mountainous grin. "Why are you awake?" Sama looked up and began calmly, "I was awake too and wanted to make sure my sister wasn't getting into trouble, and I..." Sita stopped Sama's tale with a piercing look. Sita looked from Sama to Noor sharply, her chin wobbling back and forth as she did so, her forehead wrinkles coming together fiercely. Her eyes suddenly flickered to the two pictures hanging behind them, resting on the image of the younger man. Suddenly, Sita deflated. Her shoulders slumped, and she let go of Sama and Noor's hands gently. The dry air was so thick with heat that, though Sita's eyes began to well up with tears, as quickly as they appeared, they were gone again. Her voice cracked as she said, "Oh, the stories in your hearts that must keep you two awake. Your father..." Sita's voice trailed off. "You must try to sleep. Soon we may..." Sita stopped quickly, looking at the silent collection of family. Noor's eyes looked towards her nearest aunt, who now stood and began to hold Sita's arm as if to steady her. Her aunt's dark eyes looked from Noor up towards the ceiling, and Noor understood that it was not an invitation. She and her sister needed to leave immediately. As they left, Noor watched her aunt help Sita sit slowly on a nearby cushion. As she sat, she called out after them, "Girls, don't forget to uncover the rain barrel." Sama and Noor were in the hallway just long enough to feel the staccato breath of the door when their aunt clanged it shut behind them. They could hear the strained sound of Sita's voice saying, "They carry too many stories in their hearts for girls so young." After the words evaporated from the air, Sama and Noor were in the dark. The first sound to break the darkness was Noor's sniffling, followed by the sound of her feet running up the stairs to the roof. Sama followed quickly down the hall, out of the stairwell, and onto the flat roof. At the roof's edges, the concrete rose up sharply. The house was close enough to their neighbors that they could see their drying laundry stiffly hanging with a lack of wind. As Sama came onto the roof, she saw the eastern mountain range, their tops covered with a crown of dark clouds. Glancing upwards, she saw that the moon shone bright and full like the color of weary eyes. It drew silver lines onto almost everything, the broken glass cemented into the short sides of the roof, the hundreds of other roofs in the valley, the mountains. The air was completely still, broken only by the sound of Noor letting off the top of the rain barrel at the corner of the roof. It slipped, echoing hollowly when it crashed to the bare ground. "Noor!" Sama hissed into the night air. Noor walked and lay down on the wide, dusty mat at the center of the roof. She continued sniffling. Sama thought she could see the moon mark the tracks of tears down her sister's cheeks as Noor's face turned up towards the sky. Sama slowly made her way over and sat up beside her, looking at the door to the stairs and the closely clustered houses, her back to the mountains. The air was stiff and still and silent. "Noor," Sama started. "I don't want to talk," Noor sniffled. "Noor," Sama started again. "I don't want to talk." Noor turned her body away from Sama. "What did you hear about Baba?" Noor's silhouette shook in the moonlight. "What did they say?" Sama asked softly. Noor turned sharply back to Sama. As she rolled over, tears trickled down her face. "They say..." If this drought continues much longer, we'll have to move. They say that Bob is not coming back. Sama looked down at her crossed legs and the gray faded design on the woven mat beneath him. Nor, it's been 38 months, Nor's voice cracked. It's been 38 months since it's last rained. 38 since we last heard Baba's voice, Sama finished painfully. She then lay down on her back next to Nor, looking up with her at the moon. Do you remember what he last said? Of course! Nor sat up sharply to meet Sama's eyes. Don't you? Sama stared up at the moon, thinking. Don't you? Nor asked again. Sama sighed. Sometimes I think I do, but that was years ago. It's easier to forget. Nor huffed. You sound like our aunt. Nor plugged her nose, imitating. That was years ago, and it's easier to. I can't remember the sound of his voice anymore. Sama's voice caught on the last syllable. Nor was silent. Of course I remember the night he left. He said that he had to fight, so that when storms came, we'd hear thunder instead of bombs and see lightning instead of fire. You'd cried yourself to sleep. I couldn't really sleep because it stormed that night, and I had a dream, and I've had it almost every night since then. What was your dream? Nor asked softly, inching closer to Sama. I saw an eagle flying over our valley from our house. I saw him fly into the clouds. Then I heard thunder, and the eagle was struck in the sky. He couldn't come down. He couldn't come back. Baba couldn't. Sama's voice got stuck on the sticky bitterness of her words, and one by one, tears began to fall down her face, mingling with her sweat. She shook softly. Maybe he's stuck, but he may come back. Maybe with the rain, Nor began slowly. Nor, it hasn't rained in years. When was the last time you even saw a storm? Clouds only visit the mountains, snapped Sama. Now we cry out, Baba, and nobody listens. Nor sighed, looking up at the way the moon overhead colored the white door in a melancholy silver light. Sama, didn't Baba used to say that we had too many stories in us for being so young, just like what Sita said tonight? Don't you remember? Don't you remember when the bomb shook the house, how he said that we had to tell a story for each bomb that we heard so that we could have happy stories inside of us? I told you, I can't remember the sound of his voice. Neither can I, whispered Nor, but I can remember some of his stories. It was Sama's turn to roll over and turn her back to Nor. Nor continued, looking out towards the mountains. In a land where wind whispered and sunlight danced and stars watched quietly, there was a river red with dawn. That day, yellow flashes of lightning stayed veiled behind scary clouds, but there was no thunder you could hear. The only cry was us, and the ground nearly shook with happy laughter when it was said, two daughters. For us, the earth shook with the laughter of our father. For us, the dawn after we were born. The only red was the blush of the sun's face in the village's small river. Sama sniffled and suddenly sat up straight, looking into Nor's moonlit eyes and shining face. I have a story. How about there are two girls who couldn't remember a time when the world hadn't been made of ruins? They almost died under a thunder sky, yellow flashes of war shaking the mountains. The day they almost died, a cry broke the desert. For us, the bomb would shake the earth back and forth like it was trying to be woken up from the dead. For us, the day after we almost died was as blood red as the village's river. All we have is stories of storms. They never come, but war always does. Nor sighed. Maybe we carry Baba and his stories in us. He always said when it stormed how real thunder shakes to fix the earth, flashing light and rain. It's not going to rain, Nor. Baba is not coming back. Unfazed, Nor continued. I opened the rain barrel because maybe tonight it will rain. Maybe waiting for him is just like how Grandma makes us take off the lid of the barrel, even though it hasn't rained for 38 months. If it storms tonight, I don't want to miss it. Suddenly, the dust which lay so still on the roof began to swirl in slow, meandering circles, gradually picking up speed and catching their hair. They could hear in the distance the rattling of dying leaves and the hushed groans of dry tree branches swaying back and forth. Blinding, living light flashed onto the roof. It painted horizontal gray shadows off of everything, disappearing into the dust of the early morning sky as quickly as it had come. Again, the white roof turned flickering orange. Even the glass on the sides of the roof shone, making jagged shadows. Sama snapped around, looking to the mountains. She gasped and pointed to the east, jumping up. The line of clouds that had once crowned the mountains was now veiled and silently flashing purple and gray. A route of lightning zigzagged fiercely above them, cutting the morning sky. "I'd heard about storms before, but now I see it," cried Selma, her face glowing with yellow-orange light. Nor closed her eyes and whispered, "Shh, Selma, I'm trying to listen."
TCK Tales Season 2 is brought to you in partnership with the Moody Bible Institute chapter of Mukapa. Mukapa is a fantastic student group here at Moody Bible Institute and globally that seeks to minister to missionary kids and MKs and third culture kids as they make the transition from their home country to the U.S. for college and to help bridge the gap between Americans and regular students and TCKs. If you'd like more information about Mukapa, email mukapamb@gmail.com and someone on the exec team will get back to you. The next major event that they have is Missions Conference here at Moody. There will be a panel, so look out for posters and discussions about that. It'll be very similar to this podcast, and it's really exciting. I've been a part of it. It's great. If you love this podcast, you're going to love the panel. Why did you write the story?
I think one of the main things I've been processing in the past few years is, where is God when he is silent? And this story was a reflection on where God might be in really difficult times.
How does the theme of where is God in silence and where is God in difficulty relate to you being a TCK? And if you want to share like elements of how you grew up and around that, feel free to do that as well.
I think inherent in being a TCK, there is grief. If you are a TCK, you have experienced some kind of grief, because grief has to do with loss. And growing up, I grew up in a military family, and so we moved around quite a bit. We lived in Japan and Florida and Oklahoma and Washington State and Kentucky, and now I'm in Chicago. So I've moved around quite a bit, and I think just all of that transition and therefore loss has made me have to think a lot more about where God might be in grief and loss, because it's easy to think theoretically, but when it happens to you or it happens to your friends, I think you really need to, or you are almost forced to reflect.
So where have you seen God in your personal grief? And how have you processed through God's appeared silence as you've gone through transition and grief and loss after loss after loss after loss after loss?
I really resonate a lot with Selma and Nora in this story, both of them. Actually, I don't find myself in one character really more than the other. I think in the story, Nora remembers stories about her father, and in the same way I remember stories I've heard about God or things I know to be true about him, and I hold on to that. But I also really resonate with Selma, who just asks the question, is my father just absent? Is he not coming back? And I think I've asked God that question. God, are you just absent? Are you not coming back? I think that's a part of wrestling through grief with God, is asking him where he is in it. I think that's a really important question. And I think most of my life, I unofficially saw God as absent. I think I answered your question, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, that's good. Is there an ideal way in which you would like to see your relationship with God go in the moments of silence and in the moments of doubt? And what are steps that, if you are already making, what are steps that you're making to get to that ideal process?
I think also the story is actually highly, not to like give away too many of my secrets, but this story is actually highly based off of the book of Job. And in Job, so in this story, there's 38 months of waiting for rain. And in the book of Job, there are 38 chapters of waiting for the voice of God to speak into suffering. But something that Job does that I think is really admirable is he never curses God. He just goes up to God, and like a child who is upset but trusts, he bangs kind of against the chest of God and says a lot. But he keeps coming back. And that's something that I hope happens. I can't say that has always happened. But I hope, as I continue to experience grief in the future or just in continuing to process my life, that I keep coming back and trusting God enough to bang against his chest a bit and say, I know who you are. I know I can come to you. And I know I can say, I know I can ask you why. And it doesn't mean I'm guaranteed an answer, but I think that's something I really hope. Yeah. So, or even just like if I have a question for God, of just saying like, why? That doesn't make sense. Even if it's something small, you know, just coming back to him again and again and being very persistent.
I like the way you kind of showed both responses, like all the responses we can have to silence and God's absence in our life, and that you have like expectance and like you have the grandma and you have Noor who are like consistently like, open the rain barrel. It's coming. It's happening. It doesn't happen. It'll happen tomorrow. It doesn't happen. It'll happen tomorrow. It doesn't happen. It'll happen tomorrow. And then you have the relatives and Selma who are like, he's not coming back. He's not coming. It's not happening. Don't do it. It's not happening. And you have all the ways you can kind of respond to God in this like, okay, fine. Forget you. You've forgotten me. Let's move. And then there's a, but you're coming back. But you're coming back. And it's, I think it operates on a spectrum a little bit, and it's very much of a, this happens sometimes, and then this happens sometimes, and this happens sometimes, and I think you flip, like you said, you see yourself in both characters, because I think we as humans, and especially we as TCKs, will like flip back and forth and back and forth between the two, almost seamlessly, and just kind of jump continuously back and forth. Anything else you want to say about it?
I mean, I just maybe wanted to add that there's a reason why it's kind of open-ended. In the story, the father never comes back. Yeah, Rain comes back, but there's still an element of faith or expectation, and I think that's how we have to live, is yes, someday Jesus will come back, but like, it is possible. It is possible that you never on this earth see like why or see a resolution. And I think that's a part of the coming back, is saying, even if I never see resolution, I will keep coming back and I will keep knocking off the top of the rain barrel.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think that has to do with faith.
Don't forget to subscribe, write a review, tell your friends. This podcast only gets to people from other people telling them about it. I can only do so much. I only have a small friend group. But if you love this podcast and it's been really beneficial for you, please tell other people about it. Post it on Facebook and everything like that. And then if you want to tell me where you are and if you're listening, please do. I love hearing about that. I heard about someone who's been listening to the podcast between seasons and she's from Australia, and I was like, whoa, people in Australia are listening to the podcast. So if you want to tell me where you are and where you're listening, I would love that. That would be fantastic. Like the Facebook page, tell me about it, start conversations, message me. It's all fantastic stuff. So, oh, also, if you are so inclined, I have just started the ability to maybe make a little money off of this thing. It's not my main goal. It's not at all. It started out as a project for school, and now it's just to help people. But, you know, I'm a poor college student. So if you like it so much that you'd like to give a little bit, there's a link in the show description. So if you are so inclined, do so, but by all means, do not feel pressured to do that. Thank you to Lizzie for sharing her short story. Thank you to Mukapa for letting me kind of link my content with them. Thank you to XN Radio and the XN Podcast Network and all the amazing shows that they produce. For more information on the shows, go to xnradio.cc and you'll see all the shows that all the other shows that they have available. There are some really fantastic ones that are going to get started. And listen to a bunch of them. It'll be fantastic. Until next time, I'm John, and I'll see you guys next week for another TCK Tale.